Well, good morning again. It's great just to chat over coffee, isn't it? And have a little bit of social in the middle of the service, which is so weird, but really good fun. Tony was chatting to me during the coffee and mentioned that when he was clearing out a shelf recently, he found an old service sheet dating back to 1995 when David Hill was preaching on Galatians today. We're in Galatians today. And in 1995, David Hill, who many of you might remember, was also preaching on Galatians way back then. Galatians 6, as it happened to be, back then. So I'd love to hear that sermon. In fact, it would have helped me because I'm still putting it together. this series that we've been going through, you can see the series we've been looking at is entitled No Longer, and we're looking at all sorts of verses through the book of Galatians, which tell the story of our journey. No longer this, but that is the themes of the book. And today we're looking at freedom in Christ, so no longer slaves, but free. And it's great. It's a fantastic passage. You know, sometimes you get a passage to preach on, and you can either have one of two reactions. You might think, "Ooh, gosh, that's a bit tricky," or you could say, "Actually, this is a great one." And you know, as it happens, you know, this for me is a great passage. And let's read it together and see what we can say from it. And as always with me, hopefully it's very simple. I tend to just do observational things, what I see in the passage, and share what I see, and any applications that we can derive from it. And then at the end, we'll have some questions for you to take away. So that's kind of what we'll be doing over the next 10, 15 minutes, hopefully. Right, let me read this because it's not in front of me. So, chapter 5, verse 1. So we're doing verse 1 and then verse 13 and 14. So it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So yoke, remember, yoke is that big, you know, harness thing that you see cattle pulling equipment in a field. They've got this big harness around their neck. That's a yoke, okay? So do not carry this yoke of slavery. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the text, and it's a fantastic text. It's all about freedom in Christ. When you come to know Jesus Christ, freedom floods in to your heart, and it's an amazing thing. I remember as a young boy, when I was 15, and I first came across the gospel, and it was so new and so exciting, and I remember making a commitment to follow Jesus Christ when I was 15, and then trying to figure out, what have I done? Because everything was kind of different. When I read the Bible, it kind of came to life. And when the Bible was talking about Jesus and God the Father, somehow, suddenly, I seemed to know who these people were. And I can't explain it. It was kind of just came to life as I went through that whole conversion experience. It was very like when Jesus paints this picture of springs of living water in John chapter 7, springs of living water that come from within. You don't know where it comes from, it just bubbles up from within, and it brings life and brings eternal life with it. And this is the freedom that comes whenever you move into the kingdom of God. You leave one kingdom of darkness and you join another kingdom of light. And within that is a transformation where deep inside your heart, some things start to change and new life starts to take root and bubble up. And it's a fantastic experience to go through. And in this chapter, Paul is writing to a church in Galatians, and he's saying, "You guys have been under slavery to an old system in the Jewish system." That was a system of the law. You and I don't readily identify with that system because, well, you may have, but I don't have any Jewish heritage. but I understand it from reading some of the books in the Bible, and it was a way of following a particular code. And what Paul was writing to this church in Galatians was, guys, you've been set free in Jesus Christ. You're no longer bound by that yoke, that harness of slavery that is the law, but freedom has come, new life has come, and it's a great story. I played golf. I was talking to some of the boys earlier who were playing golf. I was playing squash on Thursday, and I had a squash match on Thursday myself. I play at Brooklyn Squash Club, and we were playing Northern Squash Club on a match. And after the game, I was talking to my friend Jeff, who was also playing, and we were talking about the summer, plans for the summer. Now, my eldest daughter, Caitlin, is getting married in the summer. Whoa. Event of the year, or what? And I was telling Jeff about it, and he said, where's she getting married? I said, she's getting married in our church, the Baptist church on Hill Road. He said, oh, I didn't know you go to church. So you're a Baptist? I said, yeah, kind of. And we had a bit of a chat about that, and it was nice. But then he said at the end, he said, I don't get why you go to church, because, you know, it's so kind of dull. And in one of those little sort of conversations that sometimes happen, I said to Jeff, it's not dull at all, because, you know, in my life, I've got everything that you've got, but I've got a whole new dimension of faith that you don't have. And it opens up a whole load of things. That's so exciting. And I said, Jeff, that's a tragedy. You need to sort that out. You need to get yourself some faith, because without faith, you're living two dimensions, not three. You know, you're like living a drawing on a sheet of paper, not a model that's got depth. And you know, I was getting off on one there, you know, a little bit. But he got the message, and he thought, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying, but, you know, still not for me. But maybe he'll hold on to that little nugget sometime later in his journey. But it's a fantastic, miraculous transformation where freedom comes and slavery has to go. So let's go through and look at some of the points. David, if you could take us through. We're set free for a purpose. The purpose is to serve one another. And we're set free from this system of law. That's the first observation. And in Paul's context, it was set free from the system of law. In our context, it might be set free from different systems. Maybe the system of good works, or maybe the system of greed that drives you to seek after stuff. Maybe the system of ambition that drives you into the ground with work and steals your life away. There are many, many, many systems out there that are all having a go at your space. They're all having a go at you to try and get you hooked into slavery. But Christ's freedom comes to set you free from those systems. That's the first observation that I have about this passage. David, can I have the next one, please? Freedom is a battle. Paul alludes in this passage that you guys, having received the freedom of Christ, are now going back to some of your old ways, and the law is becoming more important again. And he said, stop it. You know, and freedom is a battle. Freedom comes flooding in from the Lord Jesus, but the systems don't like it, and the systems will try and reinvade and retake that ground that has been set free by Jesus. So there's, at the edge, at the front line, there's always a battle. And I like the way Jesus painted the picture of in John chapter 10 about the good shepherd. You remember that picture? The good shepherd, and the sheep know his voice. And he talks about a hired hand then that the sheep don't recognize. But he also talks about wolves in that passage in John chapter 10, about how the wolves come in. And do you remember what the wolves do? Can you remember what he said they would do? He said they would kill, steal, and destroy. So as we follow our Lord Jesus and enter into his freedoms, there are forces about which will seek to steal, kill, and destroy. They'll seek to steal away your freedom. They'll seek to kill any life that's bubbling up within, and they'll destroy any plans and goodness that that you plan to achieve in your life, and because that's the nature of wolves. They steal, they kill, they destroy. And therefore, in the clash of kingdoms between light and darkness, between God and the devil, there is this front line where things are difficult. There's a battle to be fought at that front line. Next point, David, if you could. Freedom is your calling. The verse says, if you noted it, verse 13, is freedom is our calling. We are called to be free. A calling is something that comes from outside, and it takes root in your heart and shapes who you are. So freedom is part of our calling. And the best way I can seek to illustrate this is just thinking back to a story that happened to me a few years ago when I was visiting Old Trafford Cricket Club. Anybody been to Old Trafford Cricket Club recently? Killers concert? No? Oh, okay. if you've been to Old Trafford recently, it's a beautiful ground, but I happen to know one of the managers there who comes to this church, Pete Ash. He works there. He's a senior manager there. And one day, Pete, because I was there with a few of my friends, he arranged that he could take us on a special tour of the ground. And we got into areas that the public aren't allowed into. So we ended up going around this ground and looking at, you know, even into some of the players' changing rooms and into some of the trophy rooms and into some of the members-only areas and all of these special areas that was very interesting to look at the history of the club and everything. It was great. It was fabulous. And then Pete got this radio. He was on the radio. He got pulled away with some urgent thing, and we were just wandering around. And then these two security guards clocked us and came running towards us, and they were very hostile and very aggressive. So what are you guys doing in here? You can't be in here. This is not public access. And they were kind of pushing a little bit, and you know, you knew you were in trouble. And I would try to explain, but they weren't hearing it. And you know, it was a confrontation type situation. And I thought, blimey, this is getting a bit tense. And then Pete re-engaged with the group. He came back in, he finished with his call, he came back in. And we were all lined up here, and the security guards were confronting us, and Pete came from behind me and just put his hand on my shoulder and said, "It's okay, guys, he's with me." And they said, "That's okay," and walked off. And I thought, isn't that a great picture of how God treats us? You know, we're faced with all these enemies, we're faced with all this opposition, but God comes in and puts his hand on our shoulder and says to those forces, "He's with me." So our identity has changed. This is part of who we are because God has put his hand on our shoulder and said, "You are free." If you slice me open, you'll see all sorts of things which I'm called to be. And freedom is one of them. There are other callings in there. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm committed to some people I work with. And if you slice me open, you'll see all of those things that make up my calling inside. But you'll also find God's freedom in there. It's part of who I am. It's my identity. So if you open us up, you'll find it. You'll find it there. Last point, if you could, Dave. Free to serve. So our freedom isn't given so that we can have the life of Riley and do everything we ever want to do, because we have a problem, folks. You may have noticed we have a bias within us which leads us off the path. It's like crown green bowling. When you're bowling a bowl, you know, it starts straight, but it soon deviates to the left or the right depending on how you bowl it. Because there's a natural bias in there that takes us off the path. And Paul says, don't give in to that bias. Don't use your freedom to have that false reasoning in your head that I can do whatever I like because I've got forgiveness from God. No, that's not on. Because that destroys relationship. That destroys your identity. What we need to do is use this freedom for good, and the good is to serve others. So that's my fourth observation from this passage. Now, those are the observations. When we come to application, let's look at that. So there are five instructions in this text, and I've underlined them here. So if you're asking me, okay, that's great, Brian, I get that, but how do I apply this to my life? You know, what does this mean in my day-to-day life? Well, folks, here are five to-dos, five instructions that we can take into the week ahead. And they are: stand firm. That's an instruction. That's a doing word. That's a verb. Stand firm. Do not let is the next instruction. Yourselves be burdened again by this yoke. Do not let it. The next one is do not use. Do not use this freedom in the wrong way. That's the third instruction. The fourth instruction is to serve one another. And the fifth instruction is to love your neighbor. So these are the application words from this passage. These are our to-do list, effectively. And if we just take a few moments on each of them, stand firm. I mean, the best way I can illustrate this, bear with, is I've brought my golf club, oops, because you know I like playing golf. And I just wanted to show you something about standing firm. Now, I like golf. I like hitting the golf ball a long way. I don't mean like hitting it to the end of the church or even onto Hill Road. I want to hit it into Sainsbury's kiosk, you know, 300 yards away. That's where I want to hit it. And this club helps me do that. This is a good club. It's a quality club. Cost me about 250 quid. Eyebrows from Claire there. But, you know, you can't skimp on quality. And this club helps me hit the ball a long way. But the secret to hitting the golf ball a long way is actually not so much the club. It's not even so much your swinging action. It's what you do with your legs, all right? And I just wanted to illustrate this point. So when I'm hitting the golf ball a long way, you have to have a very firm foundation. Now, sadly, the people on Zoom can only see the top half of me, so you can't see my legs, which I know is a tragedy. So when you're hitting a golf ball, you have to flex your knees so that, you know, you can feel your quads, you know, engaged. So those are solid. And then when you're loading up your backswing you'll notice that when I move, I'll show you how to. When I move, this leg does not move. It is firm as anything. It's never going to go anywhere. The left leg will follow me as I turn, but this right leg is firm. It doesn't move. So as I do, and I'll do it slowly, so there's no break anything. So as you do this, you see this leg stays absolutely solid, and this one moves. All right, let me show you that again. You see, this one doesn't move at all. Now, if you forget anything I've said today, you'll remember that image. And it's all about standing firm. The Bible encourages us in many occasions to stand firm, to get that firm foundation on. Because if you've got a firm foundation, you can hit the ball a mile. You can do extraordinary things in your life if you have a good, firm foundation you're shooting from. Even though there's a lot of movement up here, this stays firm. And even though there might be lots of activity in your life, it's important to have a firm foundation, because that is where the power comes from. That's where the power comes from, that firm foundation. It's nothing to do with what I'm doing up here. It's all about the legs. It's all about where your foundation is. So how do you stand firm? Well, you have to go back to that foundation. You have to spend time in relationship with God to rediscover your identity, who you are in God, to revisit that and understand who you are, so that there's a firmness there that's unshakable. Sometimes when we get into trouble in our Christian lives, we've lost a bit of who we are, and we've gone off base. We've gone off our firm base. Standing firm is about getting back in relationship with God and understanding our identity, so we have a firm ground to shoot from. Do not let yourself be burdened. So that's an instruction. Do not let yourself be burdened. How do you do that in practice? Well, the first thing is to understand if you are being burdened, and that's all about self-examination. to understand, you know, where am I in my life? Are some of the freedoms that I have inherited from Jesus being compromised? Is some of the ground that I've been given being taken? The prayer of examen, if you like to go through where you are, it's like a spiritual MOT. You know, where am I in my spiritual life and my spiritual walk? Am I being pulled offline? And if you are, don't. Yeah, be aware of what's happening. Have spiritualized, understand if there's any movement off your base, and then take action. Bring yourself back on through prayer and obedience, back onto that firm foundation. Do not use your freedoms to indulge the flesh. So we have choices to make. The question here is, are we making good choices? So a good self-examination question is, am I making good choices with the freedom that I've got? Or am I like the biased ball being pulled off track and kind of enjoying it? If that's the case, the instruction here is stop it and cut it out. When I was a kid, you know, when I was being bad, my mom and dad would use this expression, "Brian, cut it out." You know, when I was cheeky, when I was lippy, when I was doing things, he said, "Brian, just cut it out." And we've got to do the same with our sinful bias that's within it. If you feel you are using your freedoms inappropriately, you've got to cut it out. You've got to cut it out, because if you don't cut it out, a cancer will grow and your relationship with God will be destabilized, and you yourself will feel destabilized. So always be pruning, always be self-examining and pruning back, and make sure you're using your freedoms for the right purpose. What is the right purpose? The next instruction, serve one another. That's kind of what we've been doing in the breakout groups, about how we re-engage. How do we support each other, love each other, and give ourselves to one another? And then finally, love your neighbor. This is the yardstick of where you are spiritually. The yardstick is, everything is summed up in this command, love your neighbor as yourself. So how are you doing against that yardstick of loving your neighbor? That's a great question to ask. You know, how are you doing? It's not about, I've prayed so much, and I've been studying the Bible, and I've been a prayer triplet. Yes, but that's not the right measure. That's not the measure we need to be using. The measure is, are we loving our neighbor? All of those other things are enablers to help you do it. So this is the key. This is the key measure. Love your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing against that measure? That's a great question to ask. Finally, a few questions to leave you with. And I always say, choose one, because there's bound to be one in here that resonates more than the other. So the questions I've come up with are, where do I need to stand firm or firm up on Christ's freedoms? Are there territory you've lost that you need to regain? How best can I firm up, or where do I need to firm up? What things am I yoked to or bound to, which are taking away my freedoms? That self-examination question. What things should I stop doing to protect my freedom in Christ? So are there bad behaviors or bad practices that have sneaked in to your Christian life that you need to cut out? So what are those things? That's a great question to ask. And finally, how am I doing against this measure of loving my neighbor? We should always be asking ourselves that question. Enough from me. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth. Thank you that your word cuts into us and prunes us and brings life and light to us. And we pray that you would help us in the coming week to think about these verses, to worship you for the freedom that we've been given, but to understand how we stand firm in our faith and how we use our freedom for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.